excited to bring you evidence-based nutrition information focusing on addressing the root cause for imbalance. Food has the power to help you achieve lifelong, optimal health without the side effects of prescription medication. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. I am Stacy Seslowski, functional nutrition registered dietitian.
And I am Leah Grace Barrick, functional nutritionist.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Power of Food podcast. Stacy and I are super excited to have a special guest today, Dr. Kathy M. Campbell. Dr. Kathy has been a community pharmacist in Oklahoma for over 30 years. Her popular TEDx University of Tulsa talk called Obesity, the Modern Famine, highlights her innovative approach to community health, combining medical insight with personal health experiences overcoming obesity. Dr. Kathy Health, LLC, offers consultations, seminars, and education exploring foundational and holistic health approaches. Her innovative approach to pharmacy includes holistic health practices and meaningful patient interactions. Welcome to the Power of Food podcast, Dr. Kathy.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're super excited to dive into this complex topic with you today. And I would love to start off by you just telling our audience a little bit about your background and how you got into this work.
Well, I'm a clinical community pharmacist, and I started my practice in a small town north of Tulsa, Wausau, Oklahoma, in 1992, right out of school. So I was 25 years old. And so I've had the profound privilege to be a clinical community pharmacist in one town for 32 years and serve four generations now of patients. And when you do that, you just develop these amazing, deep, therapeutic, and loving relationships with your community. And I didn't want them to be sick. You know, I've known some of these patients longer than I knew my mom. And I didn't want to get the call that there was a cancer or a heart attack. And so I just, as we all aged, you know, 25 to 57, we've all been aging, it became more and more important for me to help people do that well. And it was very clear to me that the medications weren't doing it, that they were not producing the kind of health that I wanted for my patients. And so I took that plus a lifelong study of obesity in my own family and my own self. And I started digging deeper into the biochemistry of foods, of mitochondria, of nutrients, and the medications. Because what people don't tell you is that medications are only approved as an adjunct to these other things, these adjunct to diet and exercise. So I found when I started helping people with those components, not only did I get way better outcomes with medications, I could use half as many. And so to me, that would start to help people have the vitality and the longevity that I was wanting for people.
Amazing. I just love that you're saying sort of like nutrition and lifestyle is first versus medicine, which seems to be the first go-to nowadays. May I ask if you have noticed a shift over in those three generations of people? Was it always this way? Was drugs and pharmaceutical medications always sort of the number one? Or do you feel, you know, do you feel like that's a newer phenomenon?
No, I think there was something fundamentally that happened over the last 30 years. And I think there was a huge overprescribing that started happening in the 90s of all medications. There's an explosion of these chemicals that have come out, but there's also this kind of grooming of our society to think that the answer is the pill, right? And so I think it got really bad in the 90s and 2000s prior to the internet. I mind you, because the internet has provided a disruption in some of this. And you could see the overprescribing not only with the obvious opioids, but you see it with antibiotics. You see the overprescribing with acid blocking drugs. And so, and it also parallels also insurance and the PBMs and the insurance, where people are kind of being steered to the pill is the answer, the doctor is the answer. I had a physician once tell me, when did nutrition become alternative medicine? And I thought that was so wise, because that's when it started to shift. And I think it was a Wall Street driven initiative, marketing initiative, that followed with this transactional, how many pills can we get out there? Because that's where the money is how many prescriptions. The problem is that's not where health lies. You know, health is not just about not being sick. It's a holistic kind of function. I actually see health as equal to function. And so when people start, by the time you function poorly enough to need a diagnosis, we're in trouble. We're really far down the path. But that's the way our current medical system is structured. And so I wanted more for my patients. I wanted more for my family and my kids and my grandkids than that. And so I started putting these other pieces together. And you got to get, I'm not against drugs and the appropriate use of pharmaceuticals. I just don't want you to need them. Right. And so my thing is, how do I help you have a level of function so that you don't need medications or need more? And so that's kind of how I've evolved into this spot. And what I find is people really want and need that kind of help right now.
So fascinating to see how it's changed and evolved, especially even just looking at the state of our healthcare system and how much time people have with doctors and the nutrition education doctors aren't getting, and how in our society in general, like this desire for just like this quick fix, quick answer, don't really want to do the hard work. And yeah, when that's the case and the doctor's only choice is to really give them a drug, then it gets us in this whole problem and it's just escalating the issue even more. And that can often, you know, make those underlying issues even worse. So I love your analogy of like health is actually function rather than health just being absence of disease. And so I think that's really important to think about as well. And I also think it's such a beautiful thing to have someone like you who's, you know, trained in this very conventional way and, you know, pharmacy, right? Like often we think of pharmacists as just drugs. Like they just give people the drugs. They don't talk about lifestyle. They don't talk about nutrition. But for you coming at this and saying, no, this actually really matters. And drugs have a time and place, right? Because I think it's this like dichotomy of like either or, and it's really hard to have a grounded, non-emotional discussion of the middle ground, which is so important for optimal health. And so I think it's so great that someone like you is coming to this territory and really talking about these things that are so important. And like, even if the person is still staying on drugs, maybe they can take less drugs. Like maybe it's that kind of thing. And they're probably going to feel a lot better than if they're just taking a bunch of drugs and not doing the lifestyle. So that's really, really exciting to hear you coming and talking about this and writing a book about it and all these amazing things. I would love to talk a little bit about your approach to obesity, because weight loss and weight gain is such a huge, huge topic. And there's so many voices out there, right? Screaming from the rooftops about the one best thing. And, you know, there's drugs, there's Ozempic, that's a whole thing. Like, can you talk to us a little bit about your approach to that?
Obesity is the symptom. It's not the problem. It's the symptom. And I assert, as you can tell by the title of the book, it's a symptom of our starvation. Okay. So as a pharmacist, I'm the chemistry expert. Nobody's trained in chemistry like a pharmacist, right? And I'm an equal opportunity chemistry expert. I look at the chemistries, not just of pharmacology, because when you really understand those, you've got to look at the chemistry of basic metabolic function, right? And so I think of pharmacology, which is the drugs and poisons and toxins. I look at food pharmacology, which is all the 26,000 plus biochemicals that are found in whole foods. I tell you that all of those are easy compared to the last one. And I call it stress pharmacology. Okay. The chaos and the healing that happens in that bucket is phenomenal. And it's way harder than telling people to eat vegetables, right? So when I look at my assertion with obesity is a symptom of our starvation, it's a symptom of a famine. It's called obesity, the modern famine. And if you notice on just the index, there's at least 24 chapters. So there's a lot of things we may be deficient in that the appropriate survival mechanism is that we shut down our metabolic burn and the byproduct is holding on to weight. At least, the basic one is we don't have enough nutrients to operate our metabolic system, right? We haven't had enough since the onset of agriculture, is actually the research. Once we shifted from hunting and gathering and that cyclical eating and cyclical not eating, by the way, we shifted over to a more narrow spectrum of chemistry and we started getting less of that smorgasbord of 26,000 chemicals and it started to become narrower and narrower options. And I assert that the body is challenged to survive in that situation because we just don't have enough of what we need. And my patients, when I walk them through their system, I always ask them, what did I say that made the difference? They said, you just kept telling us to eat more. We thought you were crazy, but eat more of what our body needs to function, which is basically micronutrients versus the macro, because we'll get enough macro. We might need to focus on protein a little bit, but if you don't have enough micros, the macros don't get processed. So I just started looking into that biochemistry. And then throughout the book, I talk about the different things, not enough water, not enough sunlight, not enough sleep, not enough hot and cold, not enough love and connection. And so all those things play into the assertion of how I address and help patients see their unique situation with regard to holding on to weight.
That's such a great description. I also tell my patients, everyone who I work with, I'm more likely to be adding things to your diet and your life versus taking things away. I think, you know, we've grown, you know, over time to think that the only way to lose weight and to get healthy is deprivation. You know, making portion sizes smaller and fasting. And you're so right that when you look at, like, go down to the mitochondria of the cell, what's causing inflammation is the fact that those mitochondria are not getting all the nutrients that they need. And in the standard American diet, yes, the food might be less than healthy, but I think the main aspect of the standard American diet that is so unhealthy is the lack of nutrients. It's not like that the actual foods you're eating are so bad for you. Maybe they are, but it's more so.
There's that argument.
Yeah, there is, but
they could be adding toxins to the mitochondria as well. So you put those two things together and it's a mess, and it's the mess that we see all around us.
Absolutely. So can you talk a little bit about, like, what are some of the initial strategies that you, when you're first starting to work with people, like, what are some of the things you first start looking into to say, like, we're going to start turning this around?
Well, first, I acknowledge them for having survived. They're sitting across from me. And many, 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 many people have been so traumatized by this topic that nobody's ever just acknowledged them for what it's taken for them to even survive. And so there is that. The other thing I do uniquely that a pharmacist can do and other practitioners may not be able to do is I do an assessment of their drugs, their medications. 7 out of 10 Americans are taking a medication that are by design intend to disrupt your metabolic process. Hopefully it's disrupting a bad metabolic process, but not always, right? So as a pharmacist, I'm uniquely positioned to be able to look at that component. And then we go from there. And we'd start working on the basics. And we, you know, basically, I got to get more of what you need into you. I look at their life. Each of us has a culture that we exist in that is the medium with which we grow on. I literally think of a petri dish. And so in discussing with the patient, I got to figure out what their medium is. How supportive is their environment to the body's response being health, or is the environment creating a dysfunctional health, right? So a dishealth or a disease. So we dig deeply into their unique culture. Now, I think it's hard in our society And I tell patients, it is really hard to be healthy right now, but it's not hard because you and me. We live in a world that makes it very difficult. And I could pick you up and put you somewhere else on the planet, and it wouldn't be so hard as it is in the United States right now. And often people come to me and they're very angry at themselves. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. Don't be angry at yourself. You have survived, like I said. But you might want to be angry at the environment around you and why it's so difficult. And so if I can get them to focus that anger and that energy somewhere else, we might be able to harness it into cooking, reading labels or something like that. So I really start walking them on a journey of health. And really, there's no getting there. You know, there's no I'm here. Life is a journey, and this is a health journey. My game and my goal for anybody that I interact with is that they have a great rocking life, right? And if you have stage 4 cancer, I still want you to have a rocking life, right? So this we've kind of told people that if you lose weight, everything will be great. And I'm here to tell you, regardless of the weight, I want the journey to be good. So I teach people to manage their health in such a way that the journey is good. And that's one of the reasons I think I'm getting some longevity to the people who have studied with me and have worked with me, because I'm not teaching them to lose weight. I'm teaching them to support their function such that the byproduct of which is a healthier weight. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's such a great approach to it too, because especially when you're in this place where you want to lose weight more than anything and your doctor's telling you to lose weight and you're hearing from society to lose weight and all of this, it's almost like you put these blinders on and you're like, I don't even care how I feel. I just want to lose the pounds, right? Like that's all that matters. Right. So I love that you're not approaching it from that. And it's like, let's get the function back, because really the weight loss is a side effect, right? Like that's what people don't understand. Like the weight gain is not the root cause. Like that's not the root cause. I know it's the most evident. I know it's like the easiest to see from the outside looking in, but it's so important to help people understand that like that's not the issue. That's just a side effect of these deeper underlying things that you have going on that we need to address. And then, yeah, you're going to feel so much better. And then as a side effect, oh, the weight will come off. But that's unfortunately not really where people with this journey, and there's so much emotion involved. So I also love that you're really taking the onus off the individual and like telling them it's not your fault, right? Like it's not your fault. Everyone is made to feel like it is, especially for women in this society as well. Like there's so much guilt and shame and self-hatred and negative body talk and all of these things. So for people to understand, like it's your culture, it's your environment, it's literally where you are that is making you this way, that can take so much of that blame off. And then ideally help motivate them even more to make these positive lifestyle changes that are going to make them feel better, increase longevity, all of these things. So I really love your approach to that. And I would love to hear, so what are some of those kind of like, I know you said, I think your book is 24 chapters, but I would love to hear, what are some of those top nutrient deficiencies that you see that are contributing to these imbalances, to obesity, to these health problems that you're seeing? And then are you typically using, you know, food and food only? Or are you doing food and a combination of supplements? Like, how are you typically approaching that?
Well, I tell patients that you got to get the food as right as possible, period. Because there's 26,000 unique chemicals in foods, and I don't know which one your body needs, right? And neither does any doctor. It's too complex. And each person I talk to has a different system, completely unique biochemistry. So what I know doesn't matter near as much as what they figure out about their own system. So I tell people, we got to get the food as right as possible. And what that means, I generally coach on a cardiometabolic modified Mediterranean, which is a low glycemic Mediterranean. Now, why? Because I own a pharmacy and there's nobody walking in my pharmacy that won't benefit. And given the fact that 88% of our population has metabolic dysfunction, probably a pretty safe bet to go with a cardiometabolic. So in the modified Mediterranean, it is very focused on one, you get the complete spectrum of nutrients in that approach. I'm not pulling anything out completely. And you're getting a huge influx in plant-based nutrients as well as protein. Those are the two biggest focuses. And so plant and protein, plant and protein, plant and protein. So we start on that path. But then again, like I said, I look at their medications. And when a pharmacist is handed a medication, I know diagnostically why people are on that. So I can kind of look and see what is their gut. And we make sure these function as well as they can. But often it's such a chicken and the egg. You aren't getting any fiber, therefore your gut isn't working. You get some fiber in, all of a sudden the bacteria are happy and they're working better. So I always start with the food because I think we can do so much to start giving the body the smorgasbord of chemistry that it needs. So I start there. But then I do use supplements, but I'm very critical of supplementation. As a pharmacist and as a compounding pharmacist, I'm very conservative with chemistry. And it occurred to me decades ago, I want to be a reliable source for my patients because there's so much chaos in the supplement market. I vet my supplements the same way I vet medications. So I have pharmaceutical grade supplementations and I don't go crazy, but there are foundational nutrients that are even hard to replete with food. And so I generally start with a real pharmaceutical grade multivitamin, and those are hard to find. A good one is hard to find. I have been looking for 30 years for a good multivitamin, and I maybe have three or four that I think meet that standard. Then part of my essentials is omega-3s, okay? And we know now that low omega-3s are as bad for you as smoking, okay? We all know the impact of smoking on longevity, but not many people are being told at their doctor's office that low omega-3 fats have the similar kind of impact. So omega-3s is a foundational recommendation. It's also one of the things that I did my doctorate work on, so I really know a lot about that, but it makes sense. We evolved eating fish because it was an easy part. You could always get protein that way. So we never had to evolve the mechanism to make that critical chemical. So omega-3s are right there. The next one is magnesium. And magnesium in a salt, in an amino acid salt form. So magnesium's a rock. It's a rock, right? So how do you get it into people? Well, there's about 12 different salt forms, and depending on the salt form depends on how well it's absorbed. And sometimes I don't want it absorbed. Sometimes I want a loose stool. Sometimes I want it absorbed through the skin. So we might have an Epsom salt form, a mag sulfate. But often what I need is a magnesium form that actually goes in and helps the muscles contract and relax. And so those are usually the amino acid salt for glycinate, malate, lysinate. Those are all, so that's one of my foundational. And then right behind that is a vitamin D assessment. And so vitamin D is generally pretty low in our society for several reasons. One is we don't run around naked 12 hours a day like our ancestors. But two is we're high inflammation. And when you have high inflammatory status, your body makes a lot of anti-inflammatory, which is cortisol, and it will pull that chemical, the steroid hormone that's in vitamin E, into that cascade. So if you have a lot of inflammatory foods or an inflammatory life, you will necessarily be low in vitamin D. So often that is something I recommend, but I will recommend with a blood assessment so we know exactly where someone stands. So those are my basic ones. I have a few more, but those would be the essentials, and people do a lot better if we even just support that with the nutrition approach.
I noticed that the only one that you specifically said that you're testing for is vitamin D. I'm wondering if you do other advanced testing. What I liked about that answer is that some people will say, well, right away to find a nutrient deficiency, you're going to look at an organic acid test or even some blood work. And I could see that you're shaking your head, and I would agree with you that I don't think that those are the most accurate, you know, ways to figure out micronutrient deficiencies and things like that. But are you using any other testing that helps you, that you find is accurate?
I don't use a lot. I do use a lot of laboratory that patients provide me from their physicians. And as a pharmacist, people don't realize my job isn't to dispense medicines. My job is to manage the chemistries that you're taking. It's to manage, create, optimize, adjust. And, you know, if I was in a hospital, I'd be doing it a little differently. Yes, I sometimes compound, and yes, we sometimes dispense. But the actual skill set of a pharmacist is to help these things work. And so often when I'm looking at the standard CBC, CMP, and all that, I can see directions about how well the chemistries are working. And to be honest, everybody's deficient in these. And that's a cultural phenomenon. And I'm not, what I found over 30 years that I could test every day, and I'm going to see 100% of people being omega deficient. I'm going to see almost 100% being suboptimal on vitamin D. Almost. Not as much now since COVID, and now doctors are saying, oh, vitamin D. But before that, I had a doctor say 100 people would come in, he'd test them, 99 were deficient, and one was a suntanning nut. You know, so they actually treated themselves because they recognized they felt better. And then magnesium is difficult to test for. It's an intracellular test. And so what I found is I use symptoms, so muscle cramps. I also look at if they're hyperinsulinemic. What happens with some of these drugs is you see an extra wasting of magnesium at the kidney. So do you have leg cramps? Do you have constipation? Does your eye twitch? You have muscle twitching? Those are all, for me, evidence enough to trial. And again, walk the patient through trial of some of these nutrients.
Yeah, it's so interesting because the body can tell us so much, right? So even like what you're saying, magnesium. And I know in your book, you talk about some of those other clues that your body gives you. Can you talk a little bit more about those, especially if you aren't doing the testing, right? And you're just kind of starting this maybe for the first time or something like that. And you really want to kind of tune in and tap into what your body's telling you, what you would want to be looking for.
Well, I think the big ones. I mean, you start looking at the gut and the gut function. And if the gut doesn't work, I mean, you eat a great diet and you take a lot of great supplements, but your gut didn't absorb them. You didn't take them. So we start looking at, you know, again, function is where I go from. There's behavioral function, physical function, cognitive function, and then metabolic function. And medicine doesn't really assess function until it's really bad, right? And so what I generally will talk to patients about is, what is their function? What have you noticed? What are you noticing about your gut? How's your poops? You got constipation, loose stool, gas, reflux, any of those things give us clues to some of this, what could be disrupting their basic function. Fundamental function. Again, when I started looking at this, it just, you know, drugs are effective as an adjunct to diet and exercise. And what I got was nobody has good foundational function because we don't have good foundational nutrients or lifestyle as a culture. So we're all kind of off. So I look at gut first, then I talk about sleep. You know, how is your sleep? Are you falling asleep easily? Are you staying asleep? Are you dreaming? Are you waking up feeling refreshed? Those are some good clues. Again, muscle cramps are big ones. Insomnia, anxiety, headaches, those are big clues as well. And then weight, you know, you do everything possible, but you're not losing weight. Well, magnesium is critical in the production of ATP. Every molecule where you go to ADP to ATP, you need magnesium. Magnesium is critical on optimal nervous system. And if you don't have enough magnesium, it tends to precipitate anxiety and insomnia. So again, it's one of those. And where do we get magnesium from our diet? Well, there's green leafy vegetables and nuts. And again, we're deficient. So that's kind of how I approach it, to develop those foundationals and then try to get the food right, like I said, but help people in the moment with these other supplements so that they can actually function better in the moment. The other thing is the hyperinsulinemia. So if you have high insulin, again, it says that when you look up insulin, and I deal with a lot of insulin in a pharmacy, it causes your kidneys to waste these nutrients, not just magnesium, but also potassium. So you're going to be foundationally nutrient deficient in these critical nutrients. And so in understanding that and helping people with that, they just feel better. And that's really, again, what this is all about for me.
And I think we could probably have an entirely new podcast on this other topic, but I'm just going to touch, just because you talked about hyperinsulinemia, GLP-1 agonists,
yeah,
so like Ozempic, the way they function is to increase insulin. So I can only imagine the exacerbation of some of these issues as that those kinds of medications just become more and more popular.
You know, it's a complex peptide. And I don't know that the insulin impact is the biggest impact with that. I still think that remains to be seen. It's not like a secretagogue that we see with some of our medications that just pump it out. I think it's a feedback. And, you know, it's a glucagon-like peptide. So if you remember, glucagon and insulin are opposing. And it's a naturally occurring peptide in the gut. Now, what I'm wondering is, why are we so low? Why is there a deficiency in that naturally occurring? We noticed that there are foods that increase GLP-1. My instinct that fiber probably does it as well, if we actually were testing for those things, which you'll never find. Gastric bypass also, they found, increased GLP-1. So my instinct is that something, when you change the conditions of the gut, you are changing the production and the utilization of that peptide. Now, people are getting injections. I had a lady today come in today, this morning, looking for syringes for her newly acquired semaglutide with no doctor involved. She got it on the internet, which horrifies me. But behind me over here is a body composition machine that I utilize to measure muscle. And so one of the things we know with these GLP-1 classes is it's cannibalizing the muscle as a byproduct of this weight loss. And I think it has something to do with the micronutrients. It's got to find micronutrients to function, and people aren't consuming them. So the body is cannibalizing that muscle so that it can stay alive, right? But what we know about aging well is you need muscle. So my big concern, if people going down this path, is that it's a short-term fix with a long-term consequence. I'm not willing to trade off 10 years for dementia, you know, 10 years of my life down the road for this. So I'm very hesitant. And I've also had patients who've been on these medications and they didn't work until we got the lifestyle and nutrients right. So, you know, I think they're potentially tools in the toolbox, but we are not currently the way people are using it. So I really hope that we aren't going down a slippery slope with some consequences that we haven't really accounted for.
Yeah, thank you for sharing about that, Dr. Kathy. I agree that it's absolutely terrifying that people can just order that from the internet and start taking it themselves. ourselves, especially I'm right there with you. The muscle wasting is so concerning. So I really think we're going to see more and more of that, unfortunately. And I think it keeps coming back to these people who, like, they just want to focus on the weight loss and these quick fixes. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think it's really important that people hear that as well. Wow, we have covered so much. This has been so incredible. I would love to end by you just giving our audience three tangible, accessible takeaways that they can start doing in their own lives to help improve their health and improve their function.
First, find more vegetables. Find them, get them, have them show up in your life. I mean, I know that sounds somewhat simplistic, and it's almost, I've had doctors, I say, you eat 7 servings of vegetables a day, and you'd think I was crazy, you know, but taking a $1,000 a month drug every day injection, that's not crazy. And I think we're off there. So I think to really get your body function, focus on plant and focus on protein. Second is get connected. We more than ever, I have this illusion of connection in our society. I heard somebody say we have 1,000 friends and no one to come and feed our cat when we need help, right? And I think that's a profound deficiency in our human existence, and it is stressful for us. And when you have that stress, that negative stress, your body will create chemicals, and the byproduct of which can be obesity. So we need connection. Get out there, volunteer, love your puppy, you know, make a difference in your world and invite people along. And in addition to that, probably the third thing is develop a team of people around you that support you in your health journey. I call it a partner in health network. And, you know, it needs to have a pharmacist. If you're taking any chemistry, I'm plugging the pharmacist, but you also need a nutritionist, a chiropractor, a physical therapist, a physician. If you don't have a good hairdresser, you're missing out, because they are critical in your health team, right? And so create a network of trusted individuals that can help you make sense of your own body and the information that is all around us. Some of which is really great, some of which is sinister, I'm just going to say. And so you need somebody that can, a team of people to help you with that. So create your health network, your partner in health network.
You make me laugh because I think my hairdresser is my best therapist.
I know. It's critical.
It's so important. But can you, Dr. Kathy, please share with our audience the best way to find you, get more information about you?
So Dr. Kathy Campbell, you can find me at my website, drkathysays.com, and feel free to reach out. I do consultations. I've got classes. I've got TED Talks. I've got a book. The book is written for patients. It might sound like I'm pretty scientific, and I am, but I translate that science every day to real life. And so I've been getting some good feedback on the book that it is very consumable. So I hope that becomes a thing that is beneficial for you.
Awesome. And we'll share the information about your book in the notes to the show. Thanks for coming, everybody. See you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love if you left a rating and review and shared it with someone else who would find it helpful. You can find more information about Leah at gracefunctionalnutrition.com and get in touch with her through email at leah@gracefunctionalnutrition.com or on Instagram at gracefunctionalnutrition. To find more information about Stacy, you can find her at healfromfood.com, email her at stacy@healfromfood, or on social media at healfromfood. See you next time.